Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Just tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones. And this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. I wanted to wish you, a couple of greetings. But yesterday was April 19th, which was Good Friday, and this weekend we are going to be celebrating Resurrection Day. So happy Resurrection Day to everyone. Our King is risen. He's alive. It's a beautiful thing. We are going to be celebrating that tomorrow. Hopefully you guys had a blessed week. But we are going to advance the cause of freedom and the spirit of liberty here on Radio Free Redoubt. Which reminds us of 2 Corinthians 17. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's what we want to promote. Now this weekend, this week, on Thursday, I had the distinct privilege of sitting in for Matt Shea on Patriot Radio. And it was a great show. It was a heavy show because we had to deal with some things, but I wanted to advocate for our friend and the patriot, the very rare leader that we have in Matt Shea. It was his birthday, so that was my birthday present to him. But then also I just felt a duty to step forward and clear some things up and identify someone who had betrayed the trust of not only Matt Shea, but many of us in the patriot community. And I don't do that normally because there have been a lot of people in the patriot community that have made really bad decisions and done dumb things, and I don't normally point that out. But when it comes to placing someone in harm's way, placing someone in danger, the first time they breached trust and misrepresented something that was made and then made that public, it caused a lot of problems. It caused literally death threats against Representative Matt Shea and his family. And Matt Shea actually forgave him. He said, I forgive this person. I bless them, turn them over to the Lord, and let it go. Let the betrayal go. But then it happened again. So anyway, I addressed that head on. I prayed about it. I wanted to make sure that I did it in the best way that I could, scripturally and, you know, from a level-headed position, but I really felt like I had to speak up. But extremely positive responses and feedback, and thank you for all of your thank yous. And I meant it. So this is Resurrection Day weekend. And what kicked that off? The reason why is because The Guardian tabloid, a journalist from The Guardian contacted me. Essentially, this person's a propagandist. He has a history of being an apologist for the Antifa-type groups. From all that I can read about his stuff, he's very narrow in his content. It's pretty much bash the conservative, Christian, right, whatever, and defend the socialist, communist revolutionaries. That's the position that he writes from. So he was asking me questions about a conversation, a private conversation that four people were involved in. And one person leaked this with only one intention, and that is obviously to harm Matt Shea. So that's when we had to say, you know, enough's enough. And so that's what that show was about. We're going to link that to the Podbean, Patriot Radio's Podbean site, where all their shows are uploaded for you to listen to or download and share with your friends. Okay, so Yesterday was April 19th. Why is that so significant? Well, it's significant for several reasons. And I usually do this every year on or around April 19th, the closest show to April 19th. But that's when the shot heard around the world was fired. And we're talking about April 19th, 1775, essentially what kicked off the revolution with patriots taking great risks. Some of them sacrificed, made the ultimate sacrifice, and died in this, what we now call the battles of Lexington Green, or Concord and Lexington Green, and Paul Revere's ride to warn, to rally the militias, the patriots. So I'm going to kind of abbreviate that. I'm gonna bring that down to just a little bit of that story, but it's going to lead into something that we're dealing with right now that is just as alarming. See, back then the British were coming to seize the powder houses the ammunition of the patriots, so they couldn't resist. So it ties in with something that's really timely that you need to be aware of. And this just recently developed. But I want to jump ahead here to the battles of Lexington and Concord. And I've got a lot of research material on this. But, you know, I just went to Wikipedia because they have it boiled down. The first paragraph summarizes it. And it's appropriate for the time that I want to spend on this. So we can move on. The battles of Lexington and Concord were the first military engagements of the American Revolutionary War. The battles were fought on April 19th, 1775, in Middlesex County, the province of Massachusetts Bay, within the towns of Lexington, Concord, Lincoln, and present-day Arlington, and Cambridge. They marked the outbreak of armed conflict between the Kingdom of Great Britain and its 13 colonies in America. In late 1774, colonial leaders adopted the Suffolk resolves in resistance to the alterations made to the Massachusetts colonial government by the British Parliament following the Boston Tea Party. The Colonial Assembly responded by forming a Patriot Provisional Government known as the Massachusetts Provincial Congress and calling for local militias to train for possible hostilities. Now, can you imagine what the Guardian, if they could go back in time, doing expose. The militias are training for possible hostilities. Right. I mean, that's what they do today. If patriots are training for possible hostilities, boy, they write all these big old expos, the anti-government and everything else. Well, that's what these guys were being accused of as well. And in fact, they were called terrorists, domestic homeland terrorists of their time. The colonial government exercised effective control of the colony outside of British-controlled Boston. In response, the British government in February of 1775 declared Massachusetts to be in a state of rebellion. About 700 British Army regulars in Boston under Lieutenant Colonel Francis Smith were given secret orders to capture and destroy colonial military supplies reportedly stored by the Massachusetts militia at Concord. Through effective intelligence gathering, Patriot leaders had received word weeks before the expedition that their supplies might be at risk and had moved most of them to other locations. On the night before the battle, warning of the British expedition had been rapidly sent from Boston to militias in the area by several writers, including Paul Revere and Samuel Prescott. And of course, they forgot about Dawes as well. D-A-W-E-S, Dawes. He's a third writer. But they were sent with information about British plans. The initial mode of the army's arrival by water was signaled from the Old North Church in Boston to Charlestown using lanterns to communicate. Covert communications, see? All the way back to the Revolutionary War. Of course, that's a whole nother show. One lantern would be displayed if they were coming by land, and two if by sea. The first shots were fired just as the sun was rising at Lexington. Eight militiamen were killed, including Ensign Robert Munro, their third in command. The British suffered only one casualty. The militia were outnumbered and fell back, and the regulars proceeded on to Concord, where they broke apart into companies to search for the supplies. At the North Bridge in Concord, approximately 400 militiamen engaged 100 regulars from three companies of the King's troops at about 11 a.m., resulting in casualties on both sides. The outnumbered regulars fell back from the bridge and rejoined the main body of British forces in Concord. The British forces began their return march to Boston. After completing their search for military supplies, and more militiamen continued to arrive from neighboring towns. Gunfire erupted again between the two sides and continued throughout the day as the regulars marched back toward Boston. Upon returning to Lexington, Lieutenant Colonel Smith's expedition was rescued by reinforcements under Brigadier General Hugh Percy, and then that combined force of about 1,700 men limped back to Boston under heavy fire in a tactical withdrawal and eventually reached the safety of Charlestown. The accumulated militias then blockaded the narrow land accesses to Charlestown and Boston, starting the siege of Boston. That all happened on April 19th, which was yesterday, but I wanted to bring it forward. In that very same area where they were fighting to keep the firearms, they're being surrendered. Or are they? Let's take us back to a couple of stories here, and then we'll take a break and come back. Ammoland has an article. FOIA request confirms zero standard capacity magazines have been turned in to New Jersey State Police. This is from Ammoland.com. They do a great job of keeping us abreast on Second Amendment-related news. There are an estimated 1 million gun owners with standard capacity magazines in the state of New Jersey, bringing an estimated number of magazines holding more than 10 rounds to 10 million. Some estimates even have this number being higher. Well, the New Jersey State Police responded to a FOIA request confirming reports that they had from sources inside the state police, but confirming, according to the FOIA request, no magazines have been turned in. That's good news. People are, they're wising up. So good. But something's happening right here in Washington State you need to know about. Washington State is about to release private information of those who have turned in bump stocks. And somebody is trying to build a map overlay of Washington State and essentially doxing firearms owners by producing a map available on the internet of everyone who's turned in a bump stock. And this places people in harm's way. And there is a fight right now that's just developed in the last 18 hours to pass some legislation to stop this doxing from someone that the state police should not even be responding to, because it appears this is a fictitious name that this person's using for this FOIA request to get the names and locations and addresses of those who have turned in bump stocks in Washington State. This is going on right now, this weekend. There are people that are fighting for you, and Matt Shea, once again, is on the leading edge of the fight to stop something that will place all of you in harm's way. And more about that when we come back. This segment has been brought to you by Werks Holsters, W-E-R-K-Z, Werks LLC. W-E-R-K-Z.com is the website to find out about how you can get your custom Kydex holster for your sidearm and for your magazines. And they also have a line of Liberty State flag or seal, your choice, a line of products. And proceeds from the sales of those go to help support Liberty State. Check them out at works.com. We'll be right back. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Hi, I want to take a moment to let you all know about a great offer that will put up-to-the-minute intelligence and breaking news in your hands, often minutes or hours before you'll hear about it on the news or anywhere else. The director of Alerts USA and the editor of the Threat Journal, Steve Oxtokolnis, is offering a discounted subscription to all of you as listeners of Radio Free Redoubt and members of AMRON. The Alerts USA subscription is normally $99 a year, but if you click on the Alerts USA banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com, that will take you through to a page where you can subscribe for just $75. Whether it's a natural disaster, active shooter, terrorist attack, or other rapidly developing security or emergency situation, you'll be among the first to know. Information is king, but accurate and timely information is priceless. I not only use Alerts USA, I count on it. However, if you're not able to pay for a subscription at this time, then you can still sign up for the free Threat Journal email subscription to get weekly intelligence briefs and stay in the know on what occurred in the previous days. Again, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron.com and click on the Alerts USA banner. Welcome back to Radio Free Redoubt, segment two. Segment two is brought to you by Riverfront Suites out of St. Mary's, Idaho on the St. Joe River. And it is springtime. Things are blossoming. St. Joe River's beautiful, beautiful little town of St. Joe, logging town of St. Mary's. Just a really neat place. And it's about an hour south of Coeur d'Alene if you're looking for a little weekend getaway. Help support our sponsors. Go to riverfrontsuites.com to learn more. All right, now this week something happened. There is something very unsettling that took place, and once again this is brought to us by Ammo Land. I want to share this with you. Specifically, it's by the writer who did the FOIA request in New Jersey, exposing the fact that no magazines in their new magazine ban have been turned in. So good on the Patriots over there for not following unconstitutional, which means unlawful, laws. It's an illegal law. But there's something else that's happening, a little bit more disturbing. So I'm going to bring this to you. All of this started coming to my attention in the last 18 hours, really. And the Representative Matt Shea and several others are fighting for on this right now to get an emergency bill passed to try to stop this, what we call emergency, a sense of urgency with this bill. And let me just read it to you. Someone in Washington State has filed a Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, request to get the names and the addresses of residents that have turned in their bump stocks to police to create a publicly searchable database of the former owners. According to reports that were later verified by Ammo Land, the Washington State Patrol sent a letter out informing former bump stock owners that they received a FOIA request to build an online database, and the letter set the gun world on fire. This request harkens back to when a newspaper planned to post a map of gun owners in New York State in an attempt to shame owners out of their guns. Any publication of this personal information would also act as a map to locations where criminals could likely find guns to steal, putting owners at great risk. And this is what the request reads. This is a public records request. I seek to inspect any and all completed Washington State Patrol bump stock buyback forms. I seek to obtain the names and addresses where checks will be mailed for the bump stock buyback program. My intent is to create a searchable database and map of Washington State to overlay the locations. The public has a right to know that these dangerous devices may have been in neighborhoods that they live in and who has previously owned such devices. Now, a bump stock is something that you remove the stock of an AR-15 or an M4, a civilian version, AR-15, and you replace it with a bump stock. They make them for different models of semi-automatic rifles, so that when you hold it just right, it has a bump. It bumps back and cycles the rounds, similar to a full automatic cyclic rate. So all of these lawful owners, lawful citizens, law-abiding citizens, were made criminals overnight at the stroke of a pen because of this bump stock program. Law. So, I was able to confirm with Gretchen Dolan of the Washington State Patrol that there was a letter sent out to gun owners warning them that someone filed a FOIA request to build an online database. They are planning on releasing the information unless a court-ordered unless a court order is filed by April 26th. That's being worked on right now. Well, that's one way. They will release this unless they receive a court order, or if the legislature can get through this emergency legislation to stop this releasing information, private information about your homes, your residences, where you live, where your check was mailed to. And if a court order is filed, we hold the information until it is resolved, Dolan told Ammoland. If we don't receive a court order, we will release the information of those that turned in bump stocks. So the letter listed two separate FOIA requests. The way the letter was written, it did not make it clear that they had their request was unrelated. So Ammoland News was able to verify that this was the case. The first request was a guy by the name of Paul Holgate. This is all over the internet now, so I'm using his personal name because he used his personal name trying to bring attention to this. Now, according to Dolan from the Washington State Police, Holgate did not list a reason for the FOIA request. A reason is not required. Dolan explained to Ammoland on a phone call that the letter sent out by the Washington State Patrol contained Holgate's personal email and address. So Ammoland spoke to Paul Holgate on the phone. He stated that he is a Second Amendment advocate and submitted his request to find out what personal information that the Washington State Patrol was keeping about those who turned in bump stocks. He says, I'm trying to figure out what information they're storing on gun owners. I'm just trying to keep them honest. Well, he stated he does not know the second person who also filed a FOIA request, but is getting harassed because his information was put out there by Washington State Patrol. Ammoland was able to verify Holgate's story, and he has a history of pro-gun actions. Now, the person who put in this FOIA request asking for all the names of bump stock owners who turned them in is a name they filed it under the name Yati Arguna. Yatiarguna, Yati Arguna. Now, the second person listed, which is the second person listed, asking for this FOIA request of names. So you got the gun owner who filed a FOIA request just to see what information that they're making available to the public. And the second person is named, they claim their name is Yati Arguna. So after an exhaustive public record search, Ammoland was not able to find any information on Arguna. Arguna is the person that wants to build the database. Arguna does not have an online presence. No one with that name has ever lived anywhere, owned a phone, held a job, or received a parking ticket. The email address that Arguna provided appears to be a burner account. It has never been used anywhere on the internet to accept this FOIA request. Arguna also did not list a home address or a phone number, and Ammoland believes that Yati Arguna is a fake name. We're unable to determine the real name of Arguna at this time, and according to the Washington State Patrol, they are still going to release the information to this Arguna. This is just outrageous. So Ammoland contacted Gun Owners of America about the letter, and the executive director, Eric Pratt, was outraged. Matter of fact, they put out a quote, Gun Owners of America and Gun Owners Foundation is looking into this matter, Pratt told Ammoland. This is an outrageous violation of privacy to dox individuals who complied with this law. This opens up these individuals to theft and harassment from anti-gun activists. At this time, information about Arguna is scarce. Ammoland will keep investigating. And this was written by John Crump. He's an NRA instructor. He's also a constitutional activist. He's a former CEO of Veritas Firearms, and he's the co-host of Patriot News, which is a podcast over on Blog Talk Radio. He's done written extensively on the Patriot movement, including Three Percenters, Oath Keepers, and Militias, and so on. So Ammoland's just done an absolutely top-notch job, and John Crump is an extremely well-experienced researcher. So support those guys. Go over there and check that out. Look at some of their other articles. Follow them. There's just a lot of really, really good stuff. So I have a PDF that was sent over to me And I also have in front of me, I have the JPEG file of the scanned in or a photo of the letter from the Washington State Patrol, basically saying that a person has asked for information and we are going to be releasing it to this person in 15 days or April 26th. Absent a superior court order enjoining disclosure, enjoining means blocking, if you commence in an action seeking to enjoin disclosure, please ensure that notice is served on the Washington State Patrol at this address. Then they give the address. Additionally, you should also name the requesters as a party to any action seeking to enjoin disclosure or block disclosure. So the Washington State Patrol is aware of it. They have responded. Yes, we did receive this FOIA request. And yes, we're going to comply. We're going to put your information out there so this guy can build a database to post on the internet with a map showing the locations of everyone who's turned in a bump stock. As I started to say earlier, a bump stock slides over the back and so it removes easily. And then you turn in the bump stock, which means you still have the AR-15. So what they're trying to do is put out a list of AR-15 owners. Dangerous. Okay, so this is the latest that I got. Matt Shea got the letter from this guy who just exposed this. The guy filled out the FOIA request and became aware that this stuff's going to be put out so they can build a database. He contacted Matt Shea's office. Matt shot it over to the House attorneys who are trying to get a bill written right now over it because it's a massive liability. They are caucusing about it right now. So this is going to be continuing on throughout the weekend. You need to be writing letters. You need to be screaming from the rooftops at your elected officials who are in legislation, who are in session right now in Olympia. Get a hold of them and tell them this is unacceptable. Pass this bill, block the release of this private information, or at least redact it so that addresses, personal names and addresses are not released. This has got to be unlawful, what they're doing. A violation of privacy. So get a hold of your legislators right now. Join us tomorrow night at RadioFreeRedoubt.com for our weekly podcast. It's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to air my speech that I gave on privacy, security, and encryption. So actually, might be quite appropriate. You guys all have a blessed week. Happy Resurrection Day. This is John Jacob Schmidt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too.